Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, we get our Friday together with our listeners out there in audience land, shall we call it that? And much more, we have a lovely sunny day here in Vancouver.
Yes, we appreciate each and every one after our rainy winter. We have several questions to get to today on our show. Our first one comes from Bert. He says, hello, Bob and Jim. If possible, I'd like to ask Bob the following question. More and more economists are coming out with the advice that the Fed should increase its inflation target to 3 or 4%, and at the same time, the Fed should lower interest rates below that inflation target. This way, the Fed would inflate the debt away. Besides the fact that in the real world, the Fed does not set the inflation nor the short-term rates, but follows them, this scenario seems unlikely to me because probably sooner than later, bond vigilantes will dump their positions, inducing a cascade of bankruptcies in the public and private sector. Bob, what's your opinion, and are there historic precedents? Have a nice weekend, you guys.
Good one, Bert. Yeah, you wrapped it up very nicely. The bond vigilantes have already been at work. The long treasuries have been slammed very hard, and they're sort of trying to recover on that now. Whereas the appetite for risk continues, and you've got junk at new highs. So what can you say? But I think that we're still, with such a huge bubble, there's still going to be a failure and a contraction, in which case the general public's going to look at the Fed and say, hey, you spent trillions of dollars of our tax dollars to prevent bad things from happening, and this is really bad out there. So now no matter how earnest one can be, one can never get rid of a central bank. But the way to discipline them is put them on a gold standard. That would certainly stop a lot of recklessness. But as I say, you can't get rid of a central bank. So that's the best answer. And I think the public will be demanding a gold standard. And it'll be wonderful.
Question from Andrew. Hello, Jim and Bob. In light of the meme rally revival this week, it strikes me that people tend to go back to the names of the original meme rally, GME and AMC. Reasons listed for why people bought those stocks back then included that they wanted to stick it to the hedge funds who seek to destroy companies, jobs, and wealth of the little guy through unfair means. Last year, a hedge fund called Cheyenne Capital engaged a research company named Viceroy, who went after a company named Medical Properties Trust, MPT, a REIT widely owned by pensioners, i.e., that little guy. The smear campaign and social media has led to a lawsuit between MPT and Viceroy, which is still ongoing. Are the little guys sheepish creatures of habit? And if not, why don't they go after more suitable targets? Or is it that these little guys are just figments of the imagination of those initiating a pump and dump in zombie company stocks?
I think the last sentence says it. It's a good little essay more so than a question.
Yeah, isn't it?
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Andrew.
Well, pump and dump in zombie company stocks. Is that what really, and what is a zombie company, Bob?
Oh, it's more of a shell company, ready to put something hot into it, or was that? You know, it's just all top of the market garbage.
So are people being manipulated into thinking, oh, yeah, I'll do one of these meme stop things and I'll know when to bail before the stock price plummets again?
That's often the case. And actually, when they're buying a straight-up stock, the thought of getting in overwhelms the thought about how the hell do I get out. So,
okay, our third question comes from Chris in Rhode Island, or on Rhode Island, or... Rhode Island isn't actually an island. Well, it's not actually an island, Bob. That's what really makes Rhode Island interesting.
Okay.
It's on the mainland. I just read how Nebraska is the 12th state to eliminate the capital gains tax on the sale of gold and silver. The article also mentioned that several states have enacted anti, as they would say in the States, CBCD language in recent legislation as well. What that implies, I cannot say. Anyway, I would be interested in your take on this headline as it relates to the end of this bubble. Is it a good idea to get rid of the capital gains tax on the sale of gold and silver?
Yeah, first of all, the CBDC thing, that's central bank digital currency thing, which they would then use to control the world. No, I think central bankers are going to run out of credibility before they get that imposed. And... what was the last part of the question here?
Yeah, capital gains tax on sales of silver and gold.
Oh, yeah, no, this is fascinating. Actually, there should be no capital gains on anything. I go back, I was in the markets before capital gains in Canada in 1972, and, it was fabulous. The money you made was yours. So, anyways, that they're moving to do it for gold and silver is... sounds like a good way, a practical way of getting started on it. And then with that toehold, then you can get rid of capital gains taxes on all other items. I will watch this one with interest.
Yeah, there's more to this question. Is this inconsequential in the larger picture, or does it signify something more? Are these states incentivizing their citizens to put their households effectively on a gold standard by giving gold favorable tax treatment? And by the way, doesn't Warren Buffett live in Nebraska?
Yeah. No, it's as I said. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction.
Canada, in its last federal budget, drastically increased the capital gains tax. Is this a killer for the economy? How do you...
Well, it's plain malice on the part of the Trudeau government. They hate a free economy. They hate free people and will do anything they can to punish them.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of the eat the rich mentality. Although Canada has the second highest paid federal politicians in the world. The PM makes over $400,000 a year. Polyev makes $300,000.
Yeah.
Are they worth it, Bob, to be the second highest paid politicians in the world, even though they only look after 42 million people?
No, they're not worth it. They've been scamming it. It's just like in municipalities where they... city council gets together and votes themselves great retirement pension benefits and stuff like that. No, there's a lot of scamming going on out there.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, the Dow hitting record highs over 40,000, something people thought was impossible a few years ago. What's your general feeling on the markets right now? Are they topping out, and is it time to sell in May and go away?
Oh, yeah. According to any valuations, equities are way overpriced and vulnerable, and it's taken more than one bull market to do it. This has been building for 30 years on each big rush that gets up to more. And we've got a chart on the S&P adjusted by the employment, the standard wages, and it is to the moon, baby. That's an interesting way to value things. Usually it's sort of PE ratios or book value, stuff like that. But Ron Grease with his chart has done it against wages, and we're in never-never land, so the question is how long can it last? But on our work in October, November, we called for a very strong rally in stocks out till January, and then we got to January and said it's going to keep going, and a lot of stuff peaked in March. Also, you've had some straight-up wonders, the Magnificent Seven and one or two stocks that I can't even remember the name of. So it is wildly speculative out there, close enough to the time when you might expect a speculation to go crazy. So what we're looking for here is the back off a bit, churning around for the next month or so, and then we can always look forward to, if something's going to go wrong, it'll be discovered in the fall. So our advice is to build liquidity, because once the contraction comes in, liquidity is going to be very valuable.
Gold, how long is this rally going to last?
Oh, it's getting pretty peaky now on the gold divided by dollar, or relative to the dollar. And then also I keep track of it relative to the CRB. And it's a slightly higher high. But hey, the thing's got to take a rest for a while. The reason why we do gold divided by the CRB is to take the CRB as a proxy for mining costs. So it doesn't matter what the dollar is doing in gold terms. If the mining costs are going down relative to the bullion price, miners are making more money. And this is, as I said, the gold divided by CRB did reach a new high here, but it'll likely go sideways for a while. Gold stock's overpriced, so I think it's going to be kind of a dull summer.
Some of the headlines that caught your eye today: revenge of the meme stocks. GameStop shares soar 70%. That's hard to say. GameStop shares soar 70%.
Yeah. No, they got whacked, and then some hero guy who is really able to push these things got on them, and they're up 70%. And then there was some meme stock that was down 20% the other day. So it's getting pretty wild out there. Yeah.
Headline: China is facing an epic deflationary crash that it can no longer hide.
Yeah, that really says it, doesn't it? Just facing an epic deflationary crash that it can no longer hide. Yep, that's a good one.
Should we be concerned? Young people in China especially are unemployed, and we know dictatorships like to take people's minds off bad economies by doing bad things like invading their neighbors. In this case, invading Taiwan. Does this give China more incentive to go after Taiwan, or as they call it, Taipei?
Yeah. In hard times, any government will want to have a distraction. But if their tax revenues are disappearing real fast there, how the hell can they afford to take on the Western world over Taiwan? So I think they're going to leave it alone.
I think roughly 60% of the world's computer chips and most of the AI chips are made in Taiwan. If China attacks, could Taiwan just blow up those factories so China can't get their hands on them?
I don't know. That's highly speculative.
Mm-hmm. Headline: this time they really mean it. UN warns world is on edge of climate abyss.
These guys go on. They've been doing it for 30 years now. Jim Henson was the first guy, and he chose in connection with a senator. They wanted to have a hearing, and they went there the evening before in the room they're going to have, and they screwed up the air conditioning so it would really be hot in there. And then he went on about his global warming meme. And it's all crackpot stuff. The CO2 is a trace gas in the air, and those little molecules have nothing to... Whatever warmth radiation they get hit with, they re-radiated out to outer space. Certain amount gets reflected back to Earth, but your little CO2 molecule is doing nothing to heat things up, nor to hold heat, And the whole of the climate change is driven by the distance of the Earth from the sun. So the further away from the sun you get, the cooler it gets, and the orbits change. And actually, we've been on a wonderful interglacial for the last 12,000 years. Very balmy, warm weather. But over the last 12,000 years, there's been even warmer parts. The Minoan warm part, the Roman warm part, and then the Middle Ages. And actually, climate scientists used to call them optimums, the medieval optimum when it was nice and warm. And now we're on, we've been on a warming, as I say, for the coming out of the little ice age at the end of the 1500s. It's been warming since then, but you've got periods in history when you had CO2 up to 7,000 parts per million, and it was cooler than it is now. So, no, the CO2 has been a tool for status to expand their power and raise taxes and all those crooked things.
Well, climate change is usually driven by changes in solar activity, the Earth's orbit, volcanoes, and asteroid hits. Well, yeah. I think we're getting to the point where now we might be able to deflect an asteroid. But I fail to see how a carbon tax is going to control volcanic activity. And it was Yellowstone's super volcano that caused the last great extinction, wiping out something like 98% of the life on the surface of the Earth. How is a tax going to stop a volcano?
Every once in a while, I worry about Yellowstone. That's one huge mother there. Asteroids, anything that was going to hit us has already hit. There was a massive one hit down where Yucatan is. That's why the Gulf of Mexico has a nice round shape to it at parts. And so these things are of the past. As I said, we've been coming out of an ice age for the last 12,000 years. And solar physicist Penn and Livingston in the 1990s, they pointed out that solar activity was going to diminish, and it has. And then when you get solar activity diminishing, you get cooling. And that is kind of an overrider to keep ones in mind.
Bob, back in the 1500s, when volcanic activity cooled the Earth's climate for quite some time and there was crop failure around the planet, what did they think was causing it then?
Oh, they knew exactly. The 1500s was sliding down into the Little Ice Age, and it was not just cooling, but it was wet and rainy. Even the grass growing had little nutrition for, animals, for your beasts. And, the experts knew what was causing it, and it was the witches. So the magistrates from their desks would put on trial a witch, first of all, accuse them of messing with the weather, and then execute them. And they executed thousands of witches during the 1500s. Now, today's hysteria people about climate, they're much more democratic. It's not just witches that are causing the bad stuff. It's everybody from infants and including men are creating what they consider as bad weather. So what a farce. What a farce.
Indeed. Yeah. In Germany alone, they burned at the stake 40,000 to 60,000 people.
I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah. I just watched the documentary.
I know that it was in thousands during the 1500s.
Yeah, 60 up to 60,000 in Germany alone.
Yeah.
Bob, on that sad note, we're going to wrap up the show. Please don't burn any witches this weekend. Please.
Yeah, and you can get in touch with us. You're just bobhoy.com or Charts and Markets, and you can get in and find out what our product's all about, and we invite people to, take a trial subscription.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. As he said, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.